under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue, the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. We're going to be dealing with an issue today that I believe is top on the agenda of multitudes of hearts and lives and understanding of what is taking place in America. We'll talk about today the issue wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what Jesus called them. How do we recognize false teachers? Did we just have a good example of a false teacher, preacher, dressed in the robes of regalia, is a supposed bishop that publicly, openly embraced the sodomite lifestyle and suggested that President Trump embrace, celebrate, and carry out the same mindset and philosophy? Is that what we just witnessed? What are we talking about when we talk about false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that today. During the course of our discussion today, we'll invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have questions about how do you identify a false teacher? What are your suggestions? How do we identify them? We have dozens and dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds, of quote, denominations, Christian cults and religious groups. How do we determine what is real, what is false? How do we determine the those that are false teachers and those that are truly preaching and teaching the Word of God? I believe it is incumbent upon us today, especially as Christians, that we recognize a false teacher and stand for truth, whether someone likes it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so looking at things through the prism of the Word of God. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be the guidebook for our lives. It ought to be the lamp for our feet and the light unto our pathway, according to Psalms 119, verse 5. We need to recognize the Word of God as the first, foremost, and final authority. And as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on that understanding. In John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, our source today, our source book today, ought to be nothing more, nothing less than the Word of God. Without extra biblical philosophies, without denominational dogma, without adding to it some philosophical rhetoric from some political agenda. But what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? And when we look at the Word of God, we need to understand we have today hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of versions, so-called translations, some not even a real translation, that's slanderous to the Word of God. We need to be careful with what we read and call the Holy Bible. I go back to the fact that George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's true in the philosophical world. That's true in the civil system. That's true in the political world. That's true in the spiritual world, that if you stand for truth, you'll have those that will laugh at, mock at, make fun of, and deride you because of standing for truth. It's very simple for me. You take the Word of God. It is the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth book that should be the guide for our lives. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, you'll find that the Word of God gives us the, if you please, the roadmap of past, present, and future of what God has done, what God is doing, what God shall do. When we deviate from that, it's no longer truth. Jim DeMint, the former U.S. Senator, made this statement. DeMint headline warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says, "Truth." In part, this is what he says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that's the key. What does the Word of God say? And yet most younger Americans claim, and I'm looking at the headline, most young Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, 55% of the younger Americans today say that each and every person has their own version of truth. You can take truth, bifurcate it, and you have a lie. There's no such thing as a half-truth. That's a whole lie. We need to go back to the fundamentals of what does the Bible say. I'm looking at a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. This is what Hus says. Christians seek the truth, to listen to the truth, to learn the truth, to love the truth, tell the truth, to live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That should be our mantra. That should be our modus operandi. That should be our methodology in the world today, especially as Christians, that we stand for truth. We love truth. We live it and tell it and listen. It is getting more and more difficult in the world in which we're living to be willing to defend the truth. Most will buckle, bend, and simply be silent rather than standing for truth because of the fear of what the enemy might say. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, United States flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in the studio today two that I'd love to have you join us and stay tuned and ask others to dial in and call in and ask your questions. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, both are our professors in Conservative Theological University. I'm thankful for both of them. Men, thank you so much for taking time out to be here today. Delighted to have you on the set with us. Looking forward to what you say and what others will say. Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard. Let me start this way, and then we'll take our first caller. Let me say this. Some recall the name J. Edgar Hoover. In fact, the FBI building in D.C. is named after J. Edgar Hoover. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of some of the things that I find very, very problematic in his lifestyle. But J. Edgar Hoover taught his men how to recognize phony, false, counterfeit money, counterfeit dollars. Have you ever wondered how you can tell? I've never seen a counterfeit bill. I may have had one and didn't know it. I've never seen one, never touched one. But J. Edgar Hoover, in training his men how to identify counterfeit money, counterfeit currency, Jed Gehoover wanted them to recognize the authentic builds. He had in their training, they had to learn how to, a counterfeit had to learn how a real build felt, how it looked. They were trained to examine the ink, the engraving on a authentic currency, dollar bill or $100 bill, whatever it may be. They had to know how to touch it, feel it, even to the smell of the authentic ink on that bill, the real bill, to recognize it. Just have to touch it, feel it, smell it, handle it, and recognize it as being authentic. Then, ladies and gentlemen, if they ever came in contact with a counterfeit bill, it would immediately feel different, look different, smell different, and be identified right off the top just by looking at it, touching it, and feeling it. Now, may I say to you, there's a need today for Christians to so understand the Scripture, to so be immersed in the Scripture, that if anything is said, preached, or taught that's outside of the boundaries of thus saith the Word of God, it is immediately recognized as being false, phony, fallacious, and not real. We have false teachers, false preachers in the world today, and I believe that we need to recognize it. Just as Jed Hoover taught his men how to recognize a phony, false, counterfeit bill, he taught them that by recognizing the real thing. The question today, do you understand? Do you recognize the real thing called Christianity, the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God well enough that if somebody preaches and teaches something that's false, fallacious, just as the so-called lesbian, female, Episcopalian bishop that tried to counter, challenge, confront, condemn President Donald J. Trump at what was supposed to be a prayer breakfast at the National Cathedral. I am concerned about what she did, what she said, what she believes. That's what we're going to talk about today. I believe Bob is on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, when you're talking about false teachers and wolves in sheep's clothing, you're bowling in my lane. This is my ministry. Let me tell you two people that are wolf in sheep's clothing. One of them is, his name is Joel Richardson, and the other one is a guy named Eric Metaxas. Eric Metaxas is on the Christian circuit. He's in all the conferences, you know, everybody is involved with Eric Metaxas. But Eric Metaxas is the guy that wrote the biography on Bonhoeffer. He's a Roman Catholic, and he said that the Pope is one of his five favorite people in the whole world. So this is a guy that goes around dressing up as a sheep, but he's really a wolf. And most of Christianity today, the Christian circuit speakers, they don't know this. I don't know why.
Bob, you're exactly right. Let me touch on a couple of things, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before we let you go. Eric Metaxas destroys, eviscerates, annihilates the book of the Revelation and its contextual chronology and what is being said. I have not read his books. I've read excerpts from three of his books, and he tries to apply several things in the book of the Revelation. In current, he calls some of those events talking about America when it's not talking about America in the context. He simply eviscerates the contextual chronology and the truth of the book of the Revelation, number one. Number two, I think that he is a recognized person in writing, but his writings, he takes the Scripture as a prop, if you will, as an instrument to use to talk about these political events, political things. Nothing wrong with taking the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God in context, and then by way of application, talking about current events, etc. There's a whole lot wrong with taking biblical text and totally destroying the contextual understanding and interpretation of them. And he does that on a fluid basis. So I'm concerned about that aspect of it. There are a ton of folks today that have some good things to say, and because they have high-profile television cameras, all of a sudden they become the professional on theological thought. Now, question that I must ask you. This so-called lesbian, not so-called, she is a practicing lesbian bishop in the Episcopalian Church that had the audacity, the brazenness, to confront President Trump in a prayer breakfast. By the way, in 2020, when President Trump was in office the first time, she chided him, challenged him, and said, we must remove him. We must get rid of him. Trump is not adequate for the president of the United States. She hates the man. And then used the cudgel of the cloak of righteousness, wolf in sheep's clothing, to try to challenge him, chide him, and condemn him publicly. What are your thoughts in relationship? Should we consider that a false teacher? Should it be embraced? What, in your opinion, is identifiable that says she's a false teacher?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, there's no question about who this lady serves. You know, my problem is with people like Eric Metaxas, who are the wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't think this lady wears a sheep's outfit, although she dresses, you know, as a sheep. But I think the world or the Christian community recognizes her as a non-Christian. But it's the Christians that I'm talking about on the speaker circuits where, you know, they're all talking about prophecy and all that. And they have no idea, the people that, you know, are on the same circuit as them. Doesn't it make you angry, Pastor, that people like Metaxas are circulating with these same Christian authors and people like that, and they don't know who this guy is?
Bob, we're talking about the same note of music. We're on the different verse, if you please. We're talking about the same note of music in relationship to false teachers. Yes, it angers and bothers, but the scripture is very, very clear that the time shall come when they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and will turn away from sound doctrine. And that's what we find taking place today. And the further we get into the last days, the more we're going to see the false teachers coming in. This dear person, won't call her a lady, this dear lesbian dressed as a bishop coming in the cloak of righteousness with the look of spirituality, with the look of religiosity, with the cloak around her of the gigantic facilities called the Washington Cathedral, giving her the, if you please, the power and the impetus to say what she said, basically embracing and peddling, promoting, promulgating the Sodomite lifestyle, which is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. So therein, it is very obvious that it's a false teacher, very obvious that it's a false theological teacher. And it's like the young preacher out of Chicago said, he said she should be charged with theological malpractice. And I think that's exactly the case. But Bob, thank you so much. We need to keep praying. But one of the things that I want to leave you with and leave our audience with in the total broadcast today, how do those that are listening today, how are Christians to identify, to recognize, to authentically say, that is a false teacher, that is a false preacher? The key to it is, Bob, and I have tried to get this impressed upon people for less than 100 years now, is to know the Word, know the Word, know the Word. Know the 66 books in the Bible. Why are they written? Who are they written to? What is the thesis? What is the theme? What is the application? How do we understand it? And you won't find that with some of the reverse slanted versions that you find out there today. Notice I said reverse slanted versions. That's what we have so often today in society. Bob, thank you for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, let's just bat this around just a little while. You heard what Bob had said, his thoughts and his presentation. We are both familiar with this false teacher that stood in the robe of righteousness at the pulpit in the Washington Cathedral. Tell us your thoughts. Dr. Davis, go first. Tell us your thoughts. What is it you would want to say to our listening audience as a warning, as a challenge, as a, how would you say, an illumination as to what we should say and do?
Well, let me say, first of all, good morning to my bride and family and friends that are listening on today, Dr. Youngblood. And as you sent me a note on the subject about what we were going to discuss today, the white hot anger of God began to boil within me. Even on that day, I watched the inauguration and I heard the speech. Mm-hmm. And when she went in those areas where she went, the white hot anger of God began to rise up within me. Now, let me say this. Today, as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. I officially reprimand her for conduct detrimental to the kingdom of God and to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well stated, absolutely.
Because we're supposed to be standing for God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm going to say this in short. I got a lot of things to say, but I can't say it all today. Amen. But thank God. According to the Bible, and I believe I understand the word of God very well.
Amen.
I don't see anywhere in there where a lesbian bishop mm-hmm. can be connected to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. A lesbian period.
That's right.
Can't be connected to the kingdom of God unless they are born again.
Absolutely.
God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin.
That's right.
So we're not here to judge the person, but we're judging their conduct.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7, you shall know them by their fruit.
Amen.
By their fruit.
Amen. So this is the reason why I'm saying she doesn't represent the kingdom of God at all. And hear me, like you always say, let's make sure we understand what the real thing is. Mm-hmm. I spoke on a subject about that at the church one time. Study the real thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't study the word of God, you will always end up in error. Now, let me say this, and I'll let Dr. Phelps come in. Here's where we make our biggest mistakes in the church. We think we can take our worldly actions that's really connected to denominational teachings mm-hmm. and qualify them for the teachings of the kingdom of God, and we can't.
Right.
Because anything that doesn't line up with this book,
amen.
And we're talking about the word of God, mm-hmm. is totally false, and we must stand against that.
Yes.
So that's why I thank God for you and for Dr. Phelps, for myself, for others who are listening today, those who truly stand for God, for the principles of God, mm-hmm. for the sovereignty of God. And I thank God that one thing President Trump said in his speech, he said, we can never forget about our God, no, not even now.
Right.
He said those words, mm-hmm. yet I watched the Democrats sit there in silence.
Yeah.
And how even when Franklin Graham got up and he prayed the prayer and said what he said in there, how God spared President Trump for such a time as this. Listen, it's not about praising President Trump. It's about praising God for his actions because he gave us a second chance. If we're looking at this thing correctly,
mm-hmm. That's right.
We have a second chance now to go back and do it right because mm-hmm. when COVID, when the pandemic was going on, so many Christians fell away
right.
from the gospel. And let's say, I'm going to say this too, it's still lining up with the word of God because the Bible tells us that there was going to be a great falling away mm-hmm. before Christ returns to the earth. Mm-hmm. So getting back to what you said in the very first beginning, study the real thing. Make sure you know the word of God. But again, we who stand for holiness, that's the thing that connects us to the universal body of Christ. It's not Episcopalian. It's not Baptist, Methodist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Dr. Davis.
It's holiness.
Yes, that's the reason, as you know, and I'll say this to our listeners, in Conservative Theological University, our university, we are trans-denominational. Some have asked the question, what does that mean? We simply tell those students coming in, regardless of whatever denominational background you may have, when you walk in the doors and you're taught here, we're just simply going to teach you what the Word says.
Amen.
Peeling away
Amen.
All of the dogma, all of the denominational rhetoric, and just getting down to the rudimentary fundamentals of thus saith the Word of God.
And I
think that's one of the major problems that we find in society today.
Amen.
Where there's a mindset, well, this is what my denomination says. This is what, I don't care what a denomination says. I'm caring and concerned about what the Word of God says, and that is all.
Amen. Amen. And that's what I love about CTU. I'm finna let Dr. Phelps come. That's what I love about CTU. Because as I told you when I came here, God didn't send me here to prove you wrong or for us to sit back and bicker and complain about what our denomination say. He said we are supposed to be as one. So I came here to work with you, and we both, all three, and whoever else is with us, we are all working for the kingdom of God, and well, for God and for his kingdom.
Amen.
So well, we shouldn't be in it for personal gain.
Right.
It's all about
Him,
Jesus Christ.
What the scriptures
Amen.
Say. Dr. Phelps, at this juncture, what would you say are the identifying marks of what we're speaking of as false teachers and false preachers? How do you identify them?
Well, I would look in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The Apostle Peter, as well as Apostle Paul, told us that we'd have false teachers in the last days. Mm-hmm. And we're there. And what it says in 2 Peter, chapter 2, is this. That there were, and it's talking about Old Testament times, false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And I'll stop there in the middle of that verse just to tell us what I'm thinking is that we're in a time of apostasy.
Yes.
And that apostasy is not talking about the world. It's talking about the, quote, religious
world we're in.
And so we believe that apostasy means a turning away or refusing the truth of God in order that people may live apart from God and not be convicted or converted.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's so true. Our generation in which we're living refuses to receive the truth, and so they incur the wrath of God. And it's a very difficult time we're living in, because we face the consequences of turning away not only from the truth of the Word of God, but also from the living God. And there are consequences for that. And God's wrath is going to be experienced by those who turn away, and by the civilization that follows after that.
Yes.
Apostasy is a word that we use to explain how many people abandon the truth
mm-hmm.
and adopt the lie of Satan
right.
or other lies. When people refuse to hear and receive the truth, they often and very well do revert to believing the lie.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, you touched on the 2 Peter, and I'm looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and it's talking about the false teachers. It says, who privately, that means secretly, covertly, secretly introduce damnable heresies. And that's exactly what we see taking place today.
Exactly.
That's right.
They're covertly, secretly bringing in damnable heresies, heresies that will destroy the individual if they embrace it, believe it, and follow it. And this false teacher, that's the bishop and the Washington Cathedral that did that before the world, and as the preacher Lorenzo Sewell from 180 Church in Chicago said, she should be charged with theological malpractice. That's exactly what she did. It's malpractice. She was bringing in things that are antithetical to the Scripture, antithetical to the Word of God, that are not found in the Scripture and ought not to be embraced by the child of God.
Okay.
It is very, very clear in the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that the position of the Sodomite lifestyle is that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Very, very clear that that is the case. And yet somehow, some way, she was advocating for the LGBTQ Sodomite lifestyle. She called them the gay, the transsexuals, the transgenders. We're going to talk about that further in the balance of the broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen. But we need to understand that is not Christian doctrine. That is not biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.